I go to the Father in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen. Reverend Father, dear friends, our Lord, when he says, I go to the Father, he came from the Father and he came in this world in order to lead us to the Father, to draw us by his truth, by his grace, to the kingdom of his Father in heaven. And the obstacle, we should say primarily the mission our Lord will give to the apostles and the church is to preach the truth. For by truth comes grace, and by grace comes salvation. And then the great obstacle for this is the kingdom of darkness and lies. And today we live on a daily basis. We swallow, we drink in a world of lies each day. And it's poured out to us en masse. And it becomes harder and harder for us to see through the lies. And, you know, ever since the French Revolution, we've had these lies being pumped out under buzzwords. Fraternity, liberty, equality, whatever you want, freedom, freedom of speech. All these buzzwords. And what's ironic about that is those who preach them are the last ones who actually really believe them, ironically enough. Today, recently, the American government has decided to set up what is called the Disinformation Governance Board to tackle the spread of misinformation. Well, one thing's important there is that the American government, like most governments, have always understood the importance of ideas and how dangerous bad ideas are. But the American government wants to make you believe that it is concerned, this government, which is not sure whether what a male or a female is, wants to make you believe that it's concerned about misinformation. Well, the reality is it's afraid because, see, the internet and social media platforms have made an obstacle for world governments. That is, there's another narrative can be put forward that wasn't there back in the 50s, the 60s, wherever. That we wasn't there in the past at all. Whatever the government put out through the TV, through the radio, that was it. That was all you got. But now there's an alternate. And they can't have a small crack in the wall. They can't have that. You know, Elon Musk recently, he wanted to buy Twitter. And there was a major uproar. Why? Because he's somewhat got some conservative ideas, but in reality, Elon Musk is no traditional Catholic. He's certainly not a conservative by any means. But he's somebody who had a different view of things, and he might allow a different view. We can't have that. They were in an uproar. And when he did buy it, the people at the headquarters in San Francisco, many of them were in tears. They were saddened. They were weeping. He bought Twitter. We control the narrative. Somebody else now might tell some different story, allow some other information. We can't have that. But hold on. Aren't you the same people who preach tolerance, love, fraternity, liberty, equality? You know, when those words were being preached during the French Revolution, heads were rolling, being cut off by the guillotine in the thousands each day. Huh? How can we have people preaching from the streets, liberty, equality, fraternity, and at the same time butchering their own people? Well, those words only apply if you agree with the narrative. But if you don't agree with the narrative, don't agree with the agenda, of course, there's no liberty, no equality, no fraternity for you. You're an outcast, not a welcome member of society. And we saw this recently with the unjust mandates. It's liberty, freedom, equality, but not for you because you don't agree with the narrative. But aren't we a country of democracy, of freedom? Yeah, but that only applies if you agree with us. This is the point. The point is we've been fed lies. And the popes of the 19th century openly denounced these lies. They spoke word for word against these false ideas. There's no such thing as real fraternity without the grace of Christ. Our Lord didn't make us equal on purpose so we can practice fraternal charity. And there's only freedom for the truth. Error doesn't have any rights in the eyes of the church. But St. Pius X, our holy patron, warned us what is going on. He says, a great movement of apostasy is being organized in every country for the establishment of what? Of a one world church, which will have neither dogma nor hierarchy under the pretext of freedom and dignity. This is the modern church. Under the pretext of freedom and dignity, you have a church with no dogma, stands for nothing, and no real hierarchy. We're all equal. Do what you want. Feel good about yourselves. The priesthood's not important. We have women priests, we have men priests. Doesn't matter. We do as we please. But notice what I said about Elon Musk, about him being, you know, Twitter is one of the least and the smallest platform on the social media. But it's a crack in the wall. The Archbishop, when he set up his foundation, the Society of St. Pius X, why did they come so heavily on him? Because he represented a crack in the wall for their New World religion. Small crack in the wall. The Society of St. Pius X and the entire traditional movement is not even a small drop in the bucket compared to the whole conciliar church. Not even a small drop in the bucket. Let's be honest about that. But they feel threatened. By who? And it's interesting. Pope Francis, it's like he's got a psychological problem. He's constantly bagging out an insignificant group in the church called traditional Catholics. His motto proprio attack too. Not the immoral people, not the modernists, not the heretics, not those undermining the faith. No, they're all weak, welcome in his establishment. But those who represent a small crack in the narrative, they feel threatened by them. It's exactly what you've seen both in the church and in the state. St. Paul warned us. He says, know this, that in the last days there shall come dangerous times. Men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, haughty, proud, blasphemers, disobedient of parents, ungrateful and wicked, without affection, without peace, slanderers, incontent, unmerciful, without kindness, traitors, stubborn, puffed up and lovers of pleasure more than of God, having the appearance indeed of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Now these avoid. This you see on a global scale today. You see this all around us. Instead of a world of peace and joy, what do we see? We see a world of totalitarianism and dictatorship. And it's the dictatorship of relativism. In other words, you know, we're taught to believe separation of church and state. But what that really means in practice is the state becomes the church. We now tell you what's right and wrong, according to what we believe and our agenda. And you notice their agenda is demonic. It's the absolute undoing of the order established by God and the church. No longer is the family sacred. No longer even is your identity with your agenda sacred. No. It's all back to front and upside down. And because we say so. Because at the heart of it, it's run by the Antichrist. The heart of it. All these world globalist leaders, they're just puppets for the Antichrist. But let me just give you two recent examples of something that I'm just trying to point out here. That is the perversion of the modern world that so-called claims it's concerned for information. Take someone like Edward Snowden. Edward Snowden was working for the establishment. He was part of the NSA, which is this American organization, which is there for national security. He helped develop some of its greatest technologies. But what he realized is they were using this technology without the permission of the people, but with the support of the telecommunications organizations, both in America and in Europe, to spy on the people, to spy on governments. Without their permission. So he snuck that information out of the organization and he leaked it out. Instead of being hailed as a national hero, he was a hunted man, now in asylum in Russia. Same thing with another figure, Julian Assange, the co-founder of WikiLeaks. What did he do? Well, he was leaking out information that was given to him by Chelsea Manning on how many civilians the Americans were killing both in Afghanistan and in Iraq. Instead of being hailed as a national hero, exposing the corruption of the American government, he's hunted down, been imprisoned from one country to another, seeking asylum. We're not interested in true information, not interested in the truth. They're interested in their narrative at all costs. You know, dear friends, when we look at what's going on in Ukraine, for example, today we are told to believe that Russia is evil. And you can believe that. I'm not a fan of Russia. I'm certainly not a fan of Putin at all. But it's very interesting. The same people today who are telling us that Russia is evil were the same wicked people who were telling us during World War II and after World War II that Stalin was to be called Uncle Joe, the man who killed over more than 60 million of his own people. You see something wrong with that? Really, this war in Ukraine with Russia is a trap that Russia fell into. The West has wanted to go to this war for a long time and is simply using Ukraine as its tool to fight its own war with Russia to get it on board. And I'm not saying that Russia is innocent or good, it's wicked. It's a wicked communist country. But at the end of the day, it's not by accident. It's very interesting. The same people who can spend billions of dollars, and our country too, send millions of dollars overseas to help these poor Ukrainians. Why can't we use this military aid to get our military in our country to make a crackdown on the drug problem in our country, to make a crackdown on the human trafficking, on the pedophilia problem in our country? Oh, we, for some reason, can't do that. We can make a great plan. The police commissioner could say, I can make a great plan on how I'm going to stop people are protesting against these mandates. Okay, but when the same police officers were asked, what are you going to do about the drug problem in Australia? The answer was, well, we're not really sure. We don't know. Oh, so you don't have a plan on how to solve the drug problem, but you do when you make a great plan and you invest thousands of police officers in stopping people lawful protesting. Oh. And when we had the recent floods, where were those same thousands of police officers assisting the people? I'm not sure. They were somehow missing in action. In other words, there's an agenda, there's a narrative that they want to push at all costs. And we have to be able to see this. We can't be blind about what's going on around us. And it's not easy for me to say it, but you know, if you look a little bit in the history of our faith, almost all of our church fathers, the great saints and popes, they fought tooth and nail against the state to keep the state honest, whether it's St. John Chrysostom, St. Athanasius, Pope St. Pius V, Pope St. Pius X. You could go on and on and on. How many times did they have to wage war against the state? To keep the state honest, because there are many people within the state who have their own agenda. Why did the popes in the past, why did they suppress the Jesuits? Because the world state said, if you don't, we will make a war against the church. But the Jesuits were the bulwark against the Masonic agenda. You would not have been able to have the Protestant Reformation, the French Revolution, if you didn't have the suppression of the Jesuits. Pope Gregory VII would say, because I love truth and hate iniquity, I die in exile. What was he combating? World governments. He was combating particularly the German, the wicked German clergy and the wicked German emperor, Henry VI. He brought him to his knees in the snow, in making him repent for his wickedness. We must be aware that it was the church which was the light of the world that held these people in check and made the world a better place. St. Pius X would again say, we must repeat with utmost energy in these times of social and intellectual anarchy, when everyone takes it upon himself to teach as a teacher and lawmaker. The city, that is the city of God, cannot be built otherwise than has been built, and the society cannot be set up unless the church lays the foundation and supervises the work. Today, what influence is the church given in society? None. And that's because really the church stands for nothing today. The Church of Pope Francis stands for nothing. It's just a mouthpiece of the Masonic organization, the United Nations. But as St. Pius X says, if the society is not governed, directed by the organization of the church, it'll come to nothing. Civilization is not something yet to be founded, no. Nor is the new city to be built on hazy notions. It has been in existence and still is. It is the Christian civilization. It is the Catholic city. It has only to be set up and restored continually, again against the unremitting attacks of insane dreamers, rebels, and misrecants. And the leftists, whatever you might call them, whatever name you have for them, the council culture people, they are dreamers. They are idealists. They want to create a utopia on earth, forgetting the reality that it's actually not possible because we have one dilemma. It's called original sin. We can't have fraternity, we can't have liberty, we can't have equality because we are greedy, we are full of vice. It's only Christ that helps us take away this vice. It's only his grace that puts our wickedness and our weakness in check. In all the communist countries, how come there are oligarchs? How come there are people who are wealthy at the top and the plebs who are crushed at the bottom? It's supposed to be a society of equality, communism. In reality, the people in communist countries are slaves, repressed and crushed. Very interesting, again, the same people who want to promote equality, liberty. Notice that they never say anything to communist China, which is the biggest violator of human rights, the biggest destroyer of the environment, but nobody mentions anything to them. Nobody dares speak anything to them. And let's be honest, most of our politicians today are under the pay packet of the communists. Most of them are just either hardcore, like Labour, and I just remind you that it's a mortal sin for us to vote for Labour because of their pro-abortion policy. But Labour and Liberal, they're Liberals, softcore communism. The other one, Labour, is just hardcore communism. Let's just be honest about it, what's going on in our country. Let's be realistic. Let's not be blind. But once upon a time, there was a voice that spoke against these things. Father Dennis Fay was open in his text. But you might not be familiar with, but look up his name sometime, Father Charles Coughlin, who in the USA in the 1930s began to speak up using the principles of the church, St. Thomas Aquinas, Father Dennis Fay, began to denounce Roosevelt, American president, and began to denounce the banking system and what was going on in America. And of course, then they appealed to his bishop because this priest was having millions of followers throughout the US. The American government felt threatened. So he appealed to his bishop to shut him down. And the bishop said, well, you know, he's not saying anything against faith or morals, so he has my support. But then they appealed to the Vatican. And a very interesting, the response of the Vatican at the time was, what the Pope teaches, Father Coughlin preaches. In other words, Father Coughlin simply taking the social doctrine of the church, which the church has taught for hundreds of years, and he's putting it and applying it to daily life of Americans, that there must be a just price for things. There must be a just wage for things. That the corruption is, from what he could see from the outside, is obvious, blatant. In the end, the American government didn't know what to do. So at the outbreak of World War II, they just used the authority to shut him down. He's not the first one in history to be shut down by an wicked government, nor will he be the last one. But at the end of the day, I take my hat off to them. Because there's something that the leftists understand that we have forgotten today. That ideas are important. And ideas are worth more than all the money in the world. This is why governments today don't care how many billions of dollars they spend to achieve their agenda. Even if they have to bankrupt their own country. Because for them, it's worth it. Why? Because ideas are more important than money. And you know, we as Catholics, we once upon a time believed that. And we put our money where our mouth was. And this is why in the past we had the Holy Inquisition. We had the Holy Office. This is why in the past the Catholics took note in every field of life, whether it's mathematics or science. This is why you had saintly and wise men like Robert Bellarmine saying to Galileo, actually, Galileo, some of the things you've put forward are totally wrong from a scientific point of view. And the few that might be right, actually, you need to prove them before we accept them. Otherwise, go home. Otherwise, you're promoting dangerous ideas. And you will be punished. In the past, we punished you for heresy. As I quoted recently, William Thomas Walsh, in the eyes of Moses, the best idolater, the greatest idolater was a dead one. And we Catholics once upon a time believed this. We don't believe as Catholics. The church has condemned many times this false idea of freedom of speech. We don't believe it as Catholics. Error has no rights. False religions, strictly speaking, in the eyes of God and the church, have no rights. Only the truth has rights. In the past, you weren't allowed to publish books on faith or morals without the permission of the bishop or the church. But the church today stands not for much, unfortunately. But there was a reason for that, because ideas are important. And in that, I take my hat off to the leftists. They will punish you. They will repress you. They will crush you. They'll destroy your bank account. They'll cast you out of society. They'll lock you in prison if you oppose their agenda. Well, the Catholic Church once did something like this, because the Catholic Church understood that by spreading heresy, error, and lies, you actually lead people to hell. You create a disorder in society. Because the common good is more important than your personal opinion or your personal view of things. The common good is at risk. Salvation of souls are at risk. So the church took great pains in every field of truth to make sure that the truth was being promoted and not error or lies in any field of life. We must be lovers of the truth. Our Lord came to steal us this love for the truth. St. Paul warned us. He said, in those days, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they may be saved, therefore God shall send them the operation of error, to believe lying, that they may be judged, who have not believed the truth, but have consented to iniquity. St. Augustine says that no one in life is ever deceived who does not first want to be deceived. And we live in a world where we prefer often to believe lies than to believe the truth, because the truth can sometimes be inconvenient for us. So it's easier for us to believe the lies. It's easier for us to believe the false utopia of liberty, fraternity, equality. But in reality, it's not true. It's not true. Pope Leo XIII explains, whoever servant fails by weakness or ignorance may perhaps have some excuse before Almighty God. But he who resists the truth through malice and turns away from it sins most grievously against the Holy Ghost. But what does Christ say about this? But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost shall never have forgiveness, but shall be guilty of an everlasting sin. That's why our Lord said to many of the wicked of his own time, you will seek me and not find me, and you will die in your sins because of the extent of your malice. And so many today live in this willful malice of lies. Yes, today we take our hat off for these idealists. They are zealous for their cause. If only we were as zealous for our faith as they are for their perverse agenda. And it's only by the grace of God, and it's truly only by the grace of God, that we can see through the lies. Because it seems hard not to embrace the lies today around us. And that we are really outnumbered. But our Lord says to us, I came to convince the world of truth, of justice and of judgment. Me and you, we are not the standard of truth. Jesus Christ is that standard. And he's given that message to us through the church. And it's our mission to communicate that. It's very interesting, Chesterton noted that we live in a time, he said, we live in a time where we have public education. But have you ever noticed that the public are not educated? And why is that? Well, it's not hard to see, because today we can say the public in general is far dumber than it was 50 years ago. And if you're not sure about that, a little point to confirm that, just go and read the questions that were given to someone in the 8th grade 50 years ago. And if you can answer them, I give you $1 million. Good luck to you. The depth and the level of our education has been watered down on every level. And why? The better we dumb them down, so we can lead them like zombies to believe whatever we tell them without questioning. Because an educated person can say to himself, well, hold on, that doesn't add up. I know what you're saying, but this doesn't add up. But when you're not so educated, well, you just go along. You've got information today without any real education. You've got facts and figures without any perspective. And therefore, you can make them mean whatever you want them to mean, without the proper perspective, without the grasp of history, of art, of literature, of true science. Well, you make it whatever you want. And that's what we see being done for us today. An example for us, if you want, which is also a sign of hope, is someone like St. Augustine of Hippo. He embraced the leftist agenda of his time. He embraced the lies of his time. But it was by the grace of God that he was given to see that these things were lies. He embraced Manichaeism. Why? Because, you know, there was an idea that Manichaeism believed that there were the God of good and the God of evil. And therefore, humans were not really responsible for their actions. But we do this today. Evolution. Man came by here by himself. So there's no real God, no real judgment. You can believe the lie as much as you want. But at the end of the day, it's a lie. And it doesn't require a lot of intelligence to see through those lies. But then he has to also acknowledge the error of his personal misconduct. And, you know, whenever you see, personally for me, looking at it as from a perspective of a Catholic priest, whenever you see these leftists in a rage, what I see personally is someone at the heart of it who is miserable and who's got a guilty conscience. A guilty conscience, nowhere to confess their sins, but to blurt it out in rage. And they're miserable. These leftists, they hate everyone. They hate themselves. They're not happy. But their ideal can't bring happiness because we have original sin and it's a reality. And Augustine saw that. No matter where he turned, no matter what he did, no matter what pleasure he sought, he was always miserable. His conscience got the better of him. He was never at peace. By the grace of God, he was able to see. He was able to enlighten his heart. He was just reading one day the words of Cicero. And there he read to himself, if a man has a soul, and the greatest philosophers maintain, this is the case, and if that soul is immortal and divine, then must it needs be that the more it has been steeped in reason and true love and the pursuit of truth, and the less it has been stained by vice and passion, so much more surely will it rise above the earth and ascend into the skies. He's reading these works of a pagan, Cicero. He says, wow, even Cicero could see through the emptiness, the lies of the world. How much more me, who have been confronted with the grace of Christ. And that is for us to do the same. He says, St. Augustine, Lord, you did force me to look upon myself, taking from me, from behind my back where I placed myself, unwilling to observe myself, you did set me before my face that I might see how foul, how crooked and defiled, besotted and ulcerous I was. And I looked and I stood aghast and there was no escape for me. That's the state of many of our souls and that's the state of the modern world. What a terrible and abominable state. But our Lord holds out his hand for us today. Because all the more where there is misery, all the more mercy is needed. And mercy can be defined as that which is most needed, but that which is least deserving. And we are least deserving, but in most need of our Lord's grace and mercy today. I just want to conclude with the beautiful words of St. Augustine when he became a bishop later on and a great defender of the church. And he's used his wisdom of the world for the glory of God and souls. He would give us a very beautiful plan on how to deal with the wicked people of our time. He says, for those who are in error, who are wicked and evil, he says, love the men you fight, kill only their lies, rest on the truth in all humility, defend it with no cruelty, Pray for them that you oppose. Pray for them while you correct them. Let us today embrace this spirit of St. Augustine. Love them that you fight. Kill only their lies. Rest on truth in all humility. Defend it with no cruelty. Pray for them that you oppose. Pray for them while you correct them. St. Augustine, pray for us. In the Father, Son, Holy Ghost.